Hello, good morning and shalom. Want to bless God for an opportunity He has given us to worship Him and to know His will concerning our lives. It gives us joy to know that our God has called us to understand Him. We are in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. And we want to deal with only the first seven verses, verse 1 to 7. In this portion of the scripture, we are looking at what grace means. This portion helps us to see the fifth dimension of grace, the grace that helps you to stand firm even when there is persecution and pressure from outside, from those who do not love God. Chapter 5 helps us to know that the grace of God, or standing on the grace of God, means serving God's people. And this we'll be able to look at how the elders of the church are called to care for the church, to serve the church, and to take care of them as they stand on the grace, as they're also going through persecution. In these sessions, we have already noted that standing on the grace of God means that we are secure before God. We are secure because we are connected to God. We have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. And we are secure because we were bought and purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We are secure because we cannot be moved from our position the Lord has given us. We are secure by the grace of God. Number two, that is chapter one. Number two, we also discovered that we are sober before God in a foreign land. It's nothing as good as being able to think soberly. In a time when the church goes through severe trials, God has given us the ability to think critically and soberly. Thinking sober means we are not acting on emotions. We are not acting on the whims of the day. We are not just trying out things, but we have got a perspective that helps us to understand our whole journey. Thinking soberly means that we can see where we came from, we can see where we are, and we can see where we are going. And we can be able to tell where we are currently and the course and the roadmap we are going to follow to become what God wants us to be. And with that, we trust God that the only way to be able to think soberly in a time of pain takes the grace of God. You agree with me that when people are mourning, they are not sober. They don't think soberly. When people have got, for example, when people have been deceased, when you have lost your beloved, when you have lost your career, when you have lost some of your members, or you have lost even a part of your body, you don't think soberly. You cry, you mourn, you go through trauma. But here we are saying, by the grace of God, we can be able to think soberly. Number three, we discovered that we can be able to submit by the grace of God, even to the foreign governments, to governments that are not even thinking well of the church, the governments that are hostile. The governors, the government that have are taxing the church so much and the people of God. But for you to be able to submit, it requires the grace of God. For a woman to be able to submit to a hostile husband requires the grace of God. For a slave to be able to submit to a hostile master requires for the grace of God. For members of the community of believers to submit to one another, it requires the grace of God. For the church to submit to the community by not retaliating and hating them, it requires the grace of God. For one to continue loving people even when they don't reciprocate requires the grace of God. And so grace means that we are able to submit. Number three. Number four, we discovered that grace means we can be able to suffer victoriously. Knowing that suffering in the will of God have got purpose and meaning. We discover that we are not supposed to be surprised, but we are supposed to commit, we are supposed to commit ourselves to the Creator, to the shepherd of our souls, to the guardian of our souls, that we are supposed to look at the persecution from the persecution of Jesus Christ, how he acted and how he responded, that he did not retaliate, he did not force, he did not insult, and he did not even threaten. But he went knowing that that suffering of his is the one that made us to be who we are. By his stripes, we are healed. He became the wounded healer. And now, number five, we are now looking at the place of service. You discover all of them start with S, service. We are supposed to serve God. We are supposed to be an example of those who serve God. And we are looking at the grace that empowers God's elders to shepherd the flock of God in persecution. And this grace, through as we serve, we also discover how we are also going to deal with our enemies or the lion, the enemy who prowls like a lion looking for someone to devour. And this is what it says. It gives us advice of elders and young men. How can young men also serve and submit to the leadership? That's also service. And Peter says, and now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ. So Peter is addressing now the elders. And he says, you're elders of the churches. But he says, I'm speaking to you from a peer point of view. I'm also an elder. Number two, I'm also a witness to the suffering of Christ. I saw Christ suffer. I almost lost it. I almost denied him when he was going through persecution or the suffering because of his faith. But let me speak to you. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. Since I saw him suffer and I am looking forward for his coming. Then he says, for service now. As a fellow elders, I appeal to you. He did not command them. He did not just came and reprimanded or rebuked them. He said, I want to appeal to you. What is the appeal he gives to the elders? Verse 2, he says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Number one is that you care for the flock. The recognition we have here is that God has entrusted the flock to the elders. And so, care for them. But two, watch over it, that flock. It's not one sheep, but flock. Care, watch over it. Willingly. So they're supposed to watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. I know there's a possibility of caring for the flock grudgingly. You are complaining all the time. But Peter says, I appeal to you, let the spirit of willingness be upon you, not grudgingly. Then he says, not for what you will get out of it. Don't just watch over it because you're going to get some money or something. You help, you serve them, not because of what you're going to get, but because you are eager to serve God. Serving the flock is serving God. May God help us to go to service, knowing that we are not serving people, we are serving God. I've always given this example of Joseph, and I want to give him again. Joseph went to serve his brothers, not because his brothers were welcoming. In fact, his brothers were very hostile to him. But he went to serve them because he was serving his father. As he served his father, so in Joseph's eye, he was actually serving his father. So Peter says, serve them as you're serving God, eager to serve God. Then he says, don't lord over this flock. Don't lord over the people assigned to your care. Don't become a boss to them, but lead them by your own good examples. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. This is a great reminder that we will still receive a reward. These are not the people who called you. It's God who gives you a reward. And he'll give you a reward. He's calling ever-ending crown. It's a crown of never-ending glory and honor. That never-ending crown of glory and honor is what every shepherd, every pastor is going to receive as you serve God's people. When the chief shepherd comes, and in the same way, up to there, I want to say that we can be able to summarize the service of God's people into four M's. Number one is that you need to minister to God's people. In as far as service is concerned, is that we need to minister to them, minister to their needs. Number two, we need to model them. That is, we need to be an example to them. Let them see us do it. Then we need to mentor them. That is, we need to build them up and become better than us. And then we need to manage them. So all those aims and many more is what we can be able to summarize the service in this chapter. Finally, he talked about another way of service, and he spoke to young men, now not to elders. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another. So he speak to young people to submit and to be humble. One of the way to serve or to be ready to serve or to give an opportunity for the elders to serve you is to accept their authority. So he's saying the young men, kindly accept elders to serve you. And all the people, clothe yourself, dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another, as you serve one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. So Peter finally talks about our giving our cares to God. You know, to give all those cares to God because He cares about us. We give all our worries to Him, for the Lord cares for us. That's a very good, you know, advice that Peter gives. And we want to thank God that grace of God means service. But for that service to happen, we must line up ourselves to God very well. We must also relate ourselves to one another. And we must also relate ourselves to the ministry God has given us. Father, give us the grace to serve you and to serve the constituencies and to serve the target audience in Jesus' name.